Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities, and most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here is your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. And like Walter Winchell used to say, in all the ships at sea, because some of the ships at sea are having a few distressing times right now. So we would love you all to just say a prayer for world peace and stop bombing each other and doing other weird things to each other. It's ridiculous. And that's why this show is here. It's devoted to veterans, but also service members and their families and anyone who loves them, because they are going out putting their lives on the line for us, and it's not necessary. We should not be fighting with each other anywhere. It's insane. But talk about contradictions. I'm sitting here in my nice house in beautiful Southern California, San Diego, and the fan is going in my living room and the heater in the hall turned itself on. I mean, who knows what goes on in sunny Southern California. But at least it's not 90 degrees, because I was back in Maryland last week, well, a week before, I guess. Cotton picking, it was 90 degrees in the shade. And I've gotten used to California now. I'm a Texan, but I've gotten used to California. 90 degrees in the shade is not fun. Yikes. So we're talking, this is my favorite person, I have to tell you. If you missed the show the first Tuesday, go back and catch it on the archives. This lady helped me start the show. She wrote the script I still work from. It's amazing. In fact, I got to unfold it because I'm so used to CJ, I don't even unfold my script anymore. She wrote this script. It's been taped to a cardboard for 2 years, and I'm still reading what CJ wrote for me for the first show. So she's an amazing woman. She's like the Renaissance woman. She can do anything. And the cool thing is she's like my little sister, but we call her Maxi-Me because I'm 5'2 if I stretch and have red hair. She's like 6'2 and has red hair and gorgeous. So we've been having fun together for the last couple of years. And the interesting thing, the more I found out about CJ, we both had gastric surgeries, not the same kind, and not for the same reason, but we've both been through that. We've both been small. We've both been large. We've both been small again. And you know what? That surgery totally screws up your metabolism. And I'm still, I've kept 150 pounds off since the year 2000, but what I eat and how I eat it is like crucial to whether I can get out of bed every day. So this is what we're trying to do in the month of June. Groom, not gloom, groom, is, you know what, it's getting to be bikini and short season. I saw somebody in the mall yesterday, and her shorts were cut off so short that the pockets were hanging out the bottom of the shorts. Yikes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you want to go out in your bikini, and, you know, it might be nice that you love yourself enough that you don't really care what anybody thinks. I'm not there yet. I care what somebody thinks about me and all my wrinkles. So this month, we're going to talk about the proper way to do this, because if you don't pay attention, and we're all in different age groups here, but if you don't pay attention to your metabolism, it can kill you. I mean, there was the old joke about the brain and the gutter having an argument. Actually, it was the a-hole having an argument over who runs the body. And the brain says, well, I do, because I can hold your breath until you suffocate. And the a-hole says, no, because after a while, your autonomic system's going to override you and they're going to start breathing. However, I can shut down until you're full of you-know-what and you explode. Aha! I win. So here's the deal. He's kind of right. There, you have one mental functioning intelligence system, you have a second one, and it's in your gut. And if people don't know that, they need to know that. So finding out all these things about this gorgeous, tall, beautiful redhead, we have had all the same problems. So we've gone about researching them differently, and you know what? We came to the same conclusions. How amazing is that? But you've heard me every week, so I'm having CJ come back, and we're going to talk about all of the different body systems and why nutrition is important to every single system in your body. So, hi, CJ.
Hey, gorgeous. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm still adjusting to this new diet thing, but you know what? Clark has lost, I think, about 25 pounds, and he can smell and taste now, and he could not before. So all of this stuff that you're telling us, that my doctor is telling us, two different doctors, but exactly the same program, it works.
It does. It's so nice. It's so nice when you unbrine your tongue, you know, like when you can start actually tasting food again. You just unpickle that tongue and suddenly it's like, wow, life tastes great.
And you don't care about sugar anymore? I mean, gee whiz. I never did because I came from a family of diabetics. But there are people who are just so hooked on sugar. Just give this plan, like the 21 days is usually the big experiment. Give it time, man, and you won't ever care if you ever see sugar again. You won't even need artificial sweeteners because those will kill you faster than sugar.
Well, the funny thing is when you get off of sugar from a daily habit, right, when it's no longer a daily serving, a daily habit, and then you go back to try to taste it, it's almost like, and some of our listeners can appreciate this, it's almost like that first cigarette of the morning, you know, when you're smoking and you're a smoker for so many years, it's like, oh yeah, that's the best one. Unless you've not smoked for a while or unless it's your first one, in which case you taste it and it's like, oh, what the heck was I thinking?
Why did I ever do that? Gee. Well, yeah, that's the amazing thing. And you can have so much fun. My father's birthdays, we used to take a wheel of cheese, and then we used to frost it with colored cream cheese and make little cream cheese flowers. It looked like a birthday cake, and he loved it. So you know what? Oh. You don't have to eat all that sugar. And we're going to talk about all the systems in your body that can get, well, first how they need to work, and that can get goofed up if you put the wrong stuff in there. So yeah. I have a body systems overview, and now some of you can get my Monday Manifesto on Facebook, some cannot. I tried to put it on YouTube, but YouTube gave me a bad time, so I'm still fighting with them. But basically what we did is we went over 9 systems, and I'm going to be shuffling paper here if I can ever get it to turn the page. Okay.
Well, right, so should I think remind people what metabolism is? Because if you don't know what it is, I'm telling you to speed it up or slow it down or, you know, make it stronger or whatever. And you're going, like, okay, but what is metabolism?
Yeah, and you had some facts that I did not know about. Same people, same size, same diet, different metabolism.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what's really important to note here. So metabolism, for people who aren't aware, or for listeners who weren't with us 2 weeks ago when we talked about it, your metabolism refers to the chemical reactions that are going on in your body. And so I like to think of metabolism kind of as our super bioactivity suit, because it's those chemical reactions that occur that allow us to grow, to develop, to breathe, to do everything that we do, to think, to feel. Every cell in your body is affected by metabolism. So when we go through your manifesto and those systems, we get to talk about exactly what that means.
And it was amazing, the article. CJ sends me so much stuff that I never knew. And I've got like 2 doctorates and 12 certificates and all this kind of healings. I'm working on a 13th one. I don't know if that's lucky or not. But she sends me stuff I would have never thought of. And so in this article that she just sent me today, it's talking about, you think if you get out there and you exercise your tuchus off, that's going to raise your metabolism, you're going to burn more fat. Surprise, it said that most of the weight loss is coming from your resting metabolism or your BMI, your basic metabolism, BMR, basic metabolism rate. Yeah, and so people don't realize this. You could be dead asleep, man, and if your metabolism is working properly, you're going to get up in the morning all refreshed, and you will either maintain or lose weight if you need to. If you don't, you don't sleep, you wake up, you're dead dog tired, and you know what? You're probably going to gain weight because there's these hormones that get messed up. So I'm going to tell you about the 8 systems, and I'm going to ask CJ at the end, after each system, what they do. So we're going to go through it. It's 9. Sorry. We're going to go through 9 of them. First one's going to be respiratory system, because you got to breathe. Second one is digestive system and excretory system, which means you got to eat and you got to get rid of it somewhere. Third one is cardiovascular system, or obviously your heart, because everybody knows the word cardio now. There's too many commercials on TV. Okay, I'm turning pages again. Fourth one, renal system or urinary system. Like I said, you got to get rid of what you consume. Fifth one is endocrine system, and that's all those hormones. And it's not just your thyroid. There's pineal gland. There's all kinds of other glands in there you probably never knew existed. Next one, really, really important, guys, your nervous system. And your nervous system never shuts off. So you need to know about that one. Number seven, musculoskeletal system. Now think about this. If you don't have muscles, those skeletons ain't going to move. And if your bones are brittle, when you trip, you're going to break something. You know how kids fall down all the time? No problem, because we're feeding them properly. We care about our kids. But we don't care about ourselves. That's the problem. Number eight is integumentary system. I can never say that. That's the exocrine system. So if you watched Iron Man, he had this beautiful exoskeleton. Your skin is your exoskeleton, guys. If you mess it up, then all kinds of junk can get in there. Nine is lymphatic system, and that's your immune system. So if you ever had swollen glands, then it's working because it's trying to get rid of whatever it found. And the last one, just for fun, guys, I'm too old to participate in this, but the reproductive system. And you're either going to have fun with that or you're not. But there's your 10 systems. So I'm going to go back to the...
It's still affecting you.
Well, yeah, it is.
We're going to talk about that.
It is, but I'm not creating any tiny humans, thank goodness.
Okay, so we're not always talking about just participating in sex, but those sex hormones do affect us all through our life.
I am an old Jew. You know, there's a joke about that. The kids are listening and they hear their parents making all these odd noises. And so they come in and they see, you know, missionary position. And they go, oh, my God, Mom, Dad, what's going on? And they said, well, we're making you a brother or sister. And the kid says, turn her over. I wanted a puppy.
And this is why I hang out with you. You never know what's going to come out of that mouth, but it's always something interesting. It's always something funny. I love you.
Well, that's the nice thing about being a Texan. We have no filters, but I just traded in my other old phone for the new iPhone XR, which that's a whole other show. But the guy was a Texan, too. So he's from Houston. I'm from Galveston. Man, there is no sugarcoating anything in that deal.
No.
But I got my phone. So let's talk about the respiratory system, because cotton picking, you got to breathe.
Yeah, you know, so let's talk about that. That respiratory system is really important. So again, we talk about metabolism. We talk about all the chemical reactions that have to happen in your body. We talk about anabolism and catabolism. Anabolism is when we are... through the digestive process, we're turning the food into building blocks to be able to use in our body for the tissues and the things that we need, tissues, fluids, and so forth. On the other hand, we have catabolism, which is the energy that's released. So your body operates, and I know some people don't like this, I don't want to say parable, what do you call it? This similarity, but I'm going to say your body is very much like your vehicle, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
It really is. It's carting your spirit around. Well, your spirit works. Has anybody seen Pacific Rim? Raise your hands. Ha! We're on the radio. Can't see your hands. But in the movie Pacific Rim, it's kind of like they have these big transformer robots, and the pilots get in them, and they have to like form a symbiosis with that machine to be able to function it. And to me, when I watched it, it's kind of a cheesy sci-fi flick, but wow, was it awesome for a euphemism. I think that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, and seriously,
body.
The older you get, right, the harder it is to get spare parts.
It really is. And you know, one of the things I want to add, when we change the composition of our body, we automatically change the results we get. And as you and I have both had a gastric bypass and a lap band gastric sleeve, we can certainly speak to the changes that go on. You change one thing, everything changes. But back to metabolism and respiratory system. So what happens if you don't take care of your metabolism, if you're not staying up with not just nutrients, but nurturing your metabolism, then you wind up getting sick, and you wind up not having the ability to repair, you know, and to combat the illnesses. So a simple cold, if you've not taken care of your metabolism, you don't have an immune system to help that.
And what's the first thing anybody checks? Because I used to do the first response thing. What's the first thing we check for? We check for breathing.
Breathing.
If they ain't breathing, then all bets are off.
Right. And so what's really important about respiration is that oxygen going throughout your body, throughout your brain, and keeping everything functional. Without the oxygen, we go through cellular death. And it's extremely painful, by the way.
Ooh, I don't know. I've never done it.
Breathing. Hold your breath till you turn blue, or if somebody starts strangulating you, you're like, okay, this hurts, you know, because your body is literally crying for oxygen.
I cannot do it. I was a lifeguard when I was a kid, and I'm tiny, so, you know, rescuing a normal guy is like hurting a whale. But, man, I had to come up, get air, come, go down, come up, get air, because I can't hold my breath.
I can hold my breath like you wouldn't believe.
But
that's just years of practice. Just take deep breaths and slowly exhale until everything's okay. And sometimes it takes a long time for everything to be okay. So you slowly hold that breath, you know.
And here's the deal. We talked in the intro about mind, body, and spirit. The breath of life is probably the most essential thing on earth, because any practitioner of anything other than the MDs, who are the mechanical doctors and they cut, burn, and poison, and those are good modalities if you have cancer or a broken bone. But any other modality, they say to you, take a deep breath, hold it a minute, let it out, and geez, you feel better.
It's oxygenating your body. It's literally energizing you. So
yes.
It's very important. And so the way we screw with our metabolism, think about when we exercise and we run ourselves out of breath. Well, we talk a lot like me, and we run ourselves out of breath.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things we do is we start holding our muscles differently, and it starts hurting. If we'd been breathing, we wouldn't have that issue. So now we are doing things that are that's causing our energy and our body tissues and things to be used differently, which means we're working our metabolism. You know, we're redirecting the force of our metabolism differently. So if we are nurturing ourselves, if we are taking care of ourselves, we are aware of the stress we put on our body, regardless of if we're exercising or not. We remember to take breaths, and we take care. We have to nurture ourselves regardless of what we are doing, regardless of if we are in the heat of a moment emergency or
take a breath.
Tuesday. Take a breath.
Take a
Here
breath.
We go.
And you know what, for anybody who isn't into us, you guys, this is not woo-woo, this is physics. I have to say this every show, it is physics, because the molecules are moving in certain ways and they're doing certain things. But if you don't believe in any of that, just think of how good you feel after you sing a song you like.
Well, I'm going to tell you why people really want to breathe, you know, because the only
okay.
way fat can leave your body, right, at the chemical composition of fat molecule leaving your body, is as carbon dioxide. And the only way you can create carbon dioxide is to get that oxygen in, use it up, and release the carbon dioxide that's left over. So,
oh, I can just see all my listeners now pretending they're whales and blowing all this air out their blowholes and going, go away, blubber!
And, you know, we were talking about the basal metabolic rate, what your metabolic rate is at rest. In other words, how many calories do you burn when you're doing auto function, when you're doing nothing but sitting there and your body is thinking and breathing and heart is beating and all that, that's 60 to 80% of the calories you burn a day.
That's amazing.
So if you have leaner muscle mass, then it's going to burn more calories for you. If you have more fat deposits on your body, that material is energy deficient. In other words, it's no live energy going on in there. It's not burning anything for you. It's just sitting there weighing on you. So we want to try to convert that fat into muscle mass. And of course, the only way to do that is burn off the fat, exhale the carbon dioxide at the same time, nurturing your body with nutrients, the proper rest, the proper fluids, and the proper nutrients, so you can build that muscle mass. See, it all really does work together.
This is a perfect lead for number two, because the digestive system, guys, no offense to starving models, but they always look angry anyway, and it's probably because they're starving. You have to take care of your digestive system. I don't care how big you are and you want to lose weight, or how small you are and you want to gain weight. You need to find out what's proper for you, and then you got to do it.
Well, if we look at people with weight problems, we talk about what metabolic syndrome is. And this is what I like to tell people. When you go to the doctor for anything, if it's a copay per problem, You know, the doctor says, well, you can only talk about one problem when you go in.
Yeah.
That means they want to assign a code to a symptom.
Yep.
So every symptom you mention is another code, is another copay. So you go into the doctor and you say, gee, doc, I have all these little things going on, but I want you to check out my metabolic syndrome.
not my field.
Metabolic syndrome, we're talking about, you probably have your waistline is a little bigger than it should be, so you have excess weight, you have pain in your joints, you might have fibromyalgia, you probably have headaches, dry skin. You know, you could have problems with your heart, with all the other systems, but it kind of just is like that umbrella for copays. I love that one. They hate it, but I love it.
Yeah, and they always say, oh, not my problem, because honestly, I don't know how it is now, because when I was pre-med was 1965, but mm-hmm. they used to not teach anything about nutrition in medical school. I think they're getting a little better.
They really are, now that the science is supporting it. You know, now that we have done the test, and shown repeatedly, irrefutably, that if you don't have the building blocks, you can't build.
Duh! I'm sorry. Sometimes I think the world of medicine is so high-tech that they just totally miss the logic of being alive on this planet, which is what all us, and I hate being called an alternative healer. I'm not an alternative.
You're not. You're a healer, period. You take
Thank
methods
you.
That work with the people that work, that can utilize them.
We got the stuff in. We got the proper nutrition. This one is really important to me because I have a husband with Agent Orange-induced heart failure. He's had two heart attacks and two bypass surgeries. And they gave him this cotton-picking statin, and the statin is fooling with his brain. Now, I don't think he needs that because there are dietary ways to eliminate it. So our new doctor, the one that's like yours, is working on eliminating that cotton-picking statin.
Right.
So you can manage hardening of the arteries, you can manage angina pain, you can manage a lot of stuff in your cardiovascular system just by proper nutrition, proper breathing, proper posture. Wow, that's a lot easier than taking nasty drugs and paying a fortune for them.
So when we look at medicine, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. There's a mechanical process, right?
Yeah.
And there's a chemical process. So mechanically speaking, right, and chemically speaking, I'm going to go both routes here. When you alter your diet and your activities to nurture your metabolic system, right, you're taking care of your soil, a lot of those issues tend to take care of themselves. So you go to the doctor, you have a pain, and boy, we as Americans, we hate this when the doctor says, eat better. Don't eat the bad stuff. Oh, and try to get some exercise in your day.
Oh,
we
my God.
Hate it.
I know, and I do have to mention here, because a guy I have on all the time, Kevin from Green Earthology, what you think is organic food and you think is healthy may not be, because look at the soil. You mentioned the magic word.
Yes.
You can try to eat organic. Unless you grew it in your own yard with your own nutrients, all bets are off. I don't know what organic means anymore.
Yeah, you know, the last film competition that I was doing with my team, Alpha Soup, we did a food drive along with it, which was awesome, but it was called Farm to Table, the film was, and it was awesome, and it was about a new way of preparing food, where you consider what food your food has eaten before you eat it. So it's the same process, of course. It was dark comedy, that was what we drew, so it was about, you know, cannibalism, but that's a different story.
Okay, but here's the deal. People respond, I mean, my first doctorate's in education, and it drove me crazy because the administrators drove me nuts. My second one is clinical hypnotherapy, and I tell people I'm a recovering teacher and a practicing therapist, because we can't educate people to what's real and what's proper, and God forbid you have your class laughing all the time. They think there's something wrong with you. But you learn from things you enjoy.
It's true. The more fun you have, the more memorable it is. You know, I can remember great, funny things that my teachers said and did in high school. I don't remember a lot of the really boring stuff because I kind of like snoozed through it. But I had
my
teachers. They were
my school, my school was so memorable that they made the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High about my high school, and we recognized everybody in there. And there was the guy that was always fighting with Spicoli. His name was Mr. Grove. His name is Mr. Grove, and we have a suburb here in San Diego called Lemon Grove. So we used to call him Lemon Grove. And you know what? When Lemon Grove just passed away, I have never seen so many beautiful messages to Lemon Grove on Facebook. They love that man.
How about that? I totally loved every one of our teachers, every one of our administrators. Well, no, I can't say that. I do remember Mr. Kays was not my favorite, but that's another story. But the difference that a teacher makes in your life, and it doesn't even matter if they're an official teacher. If somebody can teach you something that helps you in your life to enjoy it or to be able to maneuver and manage in it better, that's just great.
Yeah, and you know what? We're all teachers and we're all students. It just depends on what exchange. That's what I used to tell my class at the beginning. I think it's why people were always transferring into my class. Because I said to them, I don't know that much about all the stuff you guys know, and you don't know anything about what I'm about to teach you, so I'll trade with you.
I love it. And you tell great jokes.
Thank you. Half of them are my life, which I don't
I know. Maybe I'm loving the punchlines.
If you guys have a chance to see this movie, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, it's not a movie, it's a series on Netflix. First of all, there are not that many series about Jews, and I was a Jew for the first 40 years, and now I work for Jesus because he healed me from killer brain cancer. But it's about a Jewish family in New York and all the garbage that goes on, and her husband cheated on her, he walks out. She became a stand-up comic. It's hysterical.
Oh, I might have to see that.
Yeah, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So every time anything goes wrong, I go, okay, what would Mrs. Maisel do?
Next time I do stand-up, I'm bringing you with me.
Somebody else invited me to go to an open mic. Oh, you know who I keep seeing on commercials is our friend Kimbrough that you introduced me to. And I see him on the commercial. This guy is a living commercial. I mean, he's a good-looking man. He's a tall, handsome black guy who had a gut. And he's advertising.
He rocks that kilt, man.
Yeah, now he's gorgeous. He's advertising an exercise machine, and boy, did it work.
It really did. I tell you, when he went through that period, I remember we did a podcast for comedians that day. Not that day, but just right after he closed that contract. And of course, if you know Kimbrough Ketch's show, he's in Los Angeles, somewhere in Los Angeles all the time. And
he's really adorable.
Really worth catching. The man is hysterical. But we were up there doing a podcast, and he told us about it, and he was telling us how much, you know, he was investing in himself as far as working out. And I want to say kudos to him. He's managed to keep the weight off. He looks great. He's funny.
Oh, he is funny.
And it has given him another facet to his comedy, so it's worth it. You know,
I got to tell you, it's so much fun talking to CJ that we have 1 minute till break. So if we wrap up the cardiovascular, we're going to get into elimination and how we eliminate when we come back. So are y'all ready for when the ship hits the sand?
I'm ready to talk about some poop, y'all.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, we're gonna talk about how it gets in there, how it becomes poop, and how it gets back out. And, you know, when you go to a doctor and the first thing he says is, well, are you, you know, wetting every day, and what does it look like? And I'm going, excuse me, I'm a Southern lady? You know? That kind of gets you, but like the joke said, all I have to do is shut my mouth and you're going to explode.
Wait, does that mean I'm the a-hole?
No, never. Redheads can't be that. Okay, so we will be right back with our angel of all things metabolic. In other words, all things alive with CJ Villanueva. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need Success No Therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Here's a question for you. You got no success? I've got the therapy. I'm Dr. Sarah Young, founder of Success No Therapy, and I'll help you define your success and choose the therapy that'll get it for you. You name it, hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, timeline therapy, NLP, EFT, crystals, angel healing, and more. They're all available anywhere in the world. Like my radio show, Dr. Red Says, we are here online 24/7. Visit www.drsarahmyoung.com or www.facebook.com/drredsays to arrange an appointment, or call 858-860-0461. Blessings.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, y'all. And I got to tell you, we're not going to do the angel card of the week or the rant of the week because CJ is so fascinating that you know, we'll way run over the hour. We ran over the break talking about stuff. I just love talking to this lady. And if you didn't feel well when you started talking to her, you will, because as again, I said, it's physics, guys, vibration. And the vibration comes right through the airwaves and you feel, oh, she feels good, and I don't mean that in a carnal way. She just feels good to talk to. So we got six systems left to go, but if we take renal, which is your kidneys and your urinary system, and the endocrine system, because everything you put in gets processed through one hormone or another, or a gland or a whatever, and then it gets put out, we can talk about all those together.
We could do a whole show on poop. And I know that sounds funny, but I want to tell you, poopology is a thing. and I actually, I keep telling my husband to print this chart out for me for our kids, for my boys to put in the bathroom. I know
the one with all
funny,
the different, right? The one with all the different colors and stuff.
Well, it's called the Bristol. I'm going to pull it up so I can look at it right now. But it's the Bristol poop chart, Bristol Royal poop chart.
Oh, my God. There's a king or queen involved in this, huh? I know there's one that has little turds, and they're all different colors.
Well, the Bristol poop chart, or it's called the Bristol stool chart or stool scale, is actually a really, really great tool if you're taking care of anybody, especially if they can't communicate with you, especially if it's you and you can't seem to get it through your head why your poop isn't working out for you. So when we talk about...
Well, coming out for you. We have to discuss
the Bristol stool chart, and I hope
we have to discuss if it's not coming out for you, because hopefully you can help people get it out. We got a lot of constipated old people.
Well, the funny thing is, I get up every morning and there I am with my number four. I say I have healthy number four, and it cracks my kids up. They're like, "What? I thought there was a number one and number two." I'm like, "No, number four, because if you're doing a four on that poop chart, it's like a smooth, soft sausage or snake. It just falls right out. You don't have to squeeze or push. It just happens.
Amazing.
You know? And you know how that happens? You eat the right amount of fiber, and you get the right amount of fluid, and you exercise enough. And you can tell, because then you do a lovely number four in the morning, and none of this, oh my God, I hate my life, what did I eat, a lot of cheese, you know.
I went to the doctor, and he said, how often do you go? And I said, once a week. And he said, okay, is it always been that? I said, pretty much. And he said, okay, that's normal.
That's normal for you, and that's really important to know. And that is a sign of your metabolism as well. So
once a week?
Well, it's very slow metabolism. If you are moving, if the chemical reactions in your body are going at a rate that you're only able to defecate once a week, there's a problem with the metabolic rate. Now, you, my darling, I don't know how many of your viewers have seen you, but you're like a firecracker. You're red hot. You know it. You're gorgeous. Right?
Oh, bless your heart. and tiny now. Mm-hmm. Now I'm so used to being almost 300 pounds that when people look at me now and say, you look like Tinkerbell, I just am flabbergasted because I'm not used to that.
You do look like a little pixie. You do. You're gorgeous. But that, I worry because, you know, when we see somebody who looks totally fit, you know, from the outside, we're like, oh, they're so healthy. No, they aren't.
Right.
Fit. Look, we don't know what's going on inside of them. They could have a tapeworm for all we know. But you can't fool certain things. So that Bristol stool chart, if you want to know how your metabolism is working through your digestive tract, it's going to tell you. You'll look at that and you go, okay. And if you look at that, you can tell how to amend your diet, right, to figure out how to have normal stool, normal bowel movement.
I am writing this the name down, Bristol stool chart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's another one. I'll have to pull it up. There's a gentleman who did a website that was, when I was doing my research on this, absolutely brilliant. He takes that Bristol stool chart, and he does actually carry that chart out one more, so he can tell you if your stool looks like this. You know, for example, if it's coming out like very hard, separate lumps, you have to have
and there's
a fiber
something about
diet.
There's something about floaters and sinkers, but I don't... Do you know anything about the floaters and the sinkers?
Yes, I do.
Floaters, wow.
Fat. How much fat's in your diet? Sinkers,
wow.
Enough protein.
Okay, so if it dives for the bottom too fast, you ate too much protein, and if it hangs around on the top, you're eating too much fat.
If it sinks to the bottom, you're fine. The density is fine, but if it's a floater, then chances are you have a lot too much fat in there because fat floats. It's hydroponic.
Ah,
so
I should have known that.
Water. So yeah, actually, you know, it's really interesting. So people don't understand what their gallbladder is for and their liver. So when you go through digestion, part of that digestive thing is your gallbladder, the bile from the bile duct. That is what actually makes fat so able to mix with water so it can be digested. So otherwise it can't. And so once it breaks down that fat molecule so it can bond with the water, it can attach to the fiber and you can poop it out.
Yeah, and guys, you don't have to be an alcoholic to have problems with your liver.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Yeah. When I worked in hospice, it was horrible. We had this lovely, lovely little woman. I'm going to say she was probably 85. It's this tiny little thing. She was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. And her greatest upset in life, like her only regret at the time of her dying, was that she was terrified people were going to think that she drank alcohol.
And she didn't?
No,
wow.
Not one drop.
Wow.
Not her thing. Like, she was very devout LDS woman, Mormon woman, and alcohol, not her thing. Absolutely.
You know, you got to say something for cautionary tales, because people either love or hate Trump, and I'm not going to weigh in on that, but the one thing he does do right is he saw a brother self-destruct with substance abuse, and so he doesn't do that. He learned something.
Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard. There's a reason why people wind up doing substance abuse, and a lot of it starts right at their own doctor's office. A lot of it is miscommunication. So I'm writing a book right now that I can't tell the name of on the radio because it's a bad word. we talk.
You have anything to do with excrement?
No. It rhymes with duckery or pluckery, but it starts with another letter.
Ooh! I want you in my book too. So you got to work on two books.
You're awesome. Well, I told you the story. I wanted when you told me about yours, I was like, ooh, I know one for yours. So, anyways, let's get back to these systems. So we talked about the excrement. If you don't take care of your metabolic system, you're going to have problems in the crapper, says Thomas Crapper.
Yeah. And the next thing when we come along here, we're talking about the endocrine system, and those are the glands that make things. And up in the endocrine system, in the report I have, it has fight or flight, reproduction, and hungry. But you know what? That also goes with your nervous system, because it's your nervous system that tells you fight or flight, reproductive systems, and whether you're hungry or not. So your nervous system tells you, and then your endocrine system does something about it.
Right, it's the hormones of your body. So when we talk about a doctor, what doctor really handles the metabolic system the best? It's your endocrinologist, hands down.
Because good luck getting a referral to one of those, though.
So it's really not hard, believe it. You know, the thing is, there's this like big cloak of mystery around healthcare, and if you know the right things to say, people just open those doors so wide and smile because they know if they don't, they're in trouble. So there are certain things that we can say, and if you want to go see an endocrinologist, you start with your primary, if your insurance insists, you start with your primary care doctor. You tell them you want blood tests, there's a history of diabetes in your family, or you tell them you're just feeling off, your hormones feel off, you'd really like to see an endocrinologist. If you're feeling like your hormones are off, you've been going through some depression or some things, you really want to see an endocrinologist. I know most people say, go see a shrink first, but look, you can talk to people in the damn face if your hormones aren't there to support your well-being.
Yeah, and I have personal experience because I have a child right now who's in the best hospital in the world, Johns Hopkins, and they're playing with all kinds of mood-altering drugs, and that is not the kid's problem. But I went back there, and they said, your daughter does not fit our demographic. Our demographic is mostly homeless, mostly of a certain color, and mostly screaming schizophrenics. And I'm going, excuse me?
Yeah, well,
so they just give out medicine.
That is exactly it. So I went to speak with a psychiatrist about this for research for my book, for Duckery, that doesn't start with a D, but and one of the things that I wanted to talk to them about was neurological functioning. So if a person with a metabolic disorder or a metabolic imbalance comes in, what is the criteria for them to be issued medication?
And I'm certainly not Prozac, guys. Not Prozac.
I'm sorry to say that the psychiatrist got a big fat F that day because they didn't give me a good answer. And I needed to be able to be clear on what their criteria is for issuing that medication. And, of course, I realized as I'm talking to this psychiatrist who is easily 50 pounds overweight and bragging about the fact that she can drink a pot of coffee every morning,
I'm
realizing
Lord.
She herself might not be too up to date on neurology and nutrition.
Yeah.
And the effects of what that coffee is doing to her metabolic rate.
Wow.
And what it's doing to her heart rate and how fast her blood pumps and how fast those hormones are getting pushed through her brain.
And I got to tell you guys, if you do listen to CJ's research and you do some more research in this, you say, I can't do it. I'm 72. I used to drink nothing but Diet Cokes, and I did it from morning till night. And I switched over. I stopped smoking cold turkey. I stopped the sodas cold turkey. You can do that. And now anything I drink that's not water tastes weird. You can do it.
Yeah. I'm a tea person. I love herbal teas.
I will do tea. I can't handle coffee. I don't know how all these coffee heads out there survive.
Yeah. My husband drinks a coffee called Death Wish.
Oh, jeez. Why?
I know, but he can only do one cup. You know what? He's over 60. He does one cup a day, and he just, I think he likes the thrill in the morning, to be honest. I think
wow.
It's just that one, and then it's like, okay, now I can just be myself.
Jeez, and I just pet the cat. Yeah. That's my rush. That's my rush is I pet the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be a rush if the cat attacked you, but your cat loves you, so you're okay.
Yeah, and we're communicating. So we get all this stuff going. We get the signals going, all this stuff. You still have to be able to stand and move, so we're up to musculoskeletal. And I just, along with all those psychotropic drugs, the amount of drugs they're throwing at poor old women because they say you have osteoporosis, there's another way to fix that without poisoning yourself with drugs.
What's that?
You proper nutrition. Right. Yeah.
It really is proper nutrition. So my background is strongly in hospice. I've done many, many things in my life, but hospice was the one that I just grabbed onto and said, I want to know everything I can about it. So I did. I read the conditions of participation, the CLPs through Medicare. I understand what hospice is. I understand the hospice philosophy. Hospice, yeah, baby, it's my thing. One of the things that I will tell you that every nurse notices the first time when they walk into a patient's room and have to go through their pills is that, wow, they have so much chemistry going on. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, sometimes you take a pill for the side effects of the other pill.
Exactly. Or you take a pill that's already been covered with something else. So now you've doubled the dose without even understanding, you know, doubled the treatment for one problem, and you've created, and you're treating one problem, but now instead of two or four side effects, you have like eight or 16.
The other thing that they're not doing with babies or pediatrics, you measure the amount of medicine by the weight of the child, and I think once we get past that, they just say adults take two of these.
That's really funny because, as you know, my little tiny teensy pixie-like frame, 6 feet, if you give me a Tylenol cold pill, I'm out like a light.
Wow!
I can't. It fells the giant, you know?
That's amazing because they don't even touch me.
Yeah, and my mom, 5'2", they don't faze her at all. You know?
See, here's the thing. We may not get to all of the systems, but there was one thing that was mentioned in that second report you sent me, and it's fascinating because we women, bless our little hearts, we're jealous of each other and how we look and stuff. And there was a place in that article that said, okay, they studied same size person, same basic metabolism, same food going in and out. One of them would gain weight, the other one wouldn't, and they still don't know why.
That's true. So we know a lot of things about how we can operate our own metabolism, but we do not understand all of the factors of the DNA that created our metabolism. We know things like if somebody was born to diabetics, that they have a more genetic predisposition to be diabetic.
Yep.
I believe, personally, that is largely the accumulation of lifestyle over time.
I do, too.
So, for example, my grandparents, they were around during the Depression. They were not wealthy. They did not eat great. They ate pretty well because they were pretty good at growing things and farming. So they did okay, but when they moved to the city, how the diet changed. We were doing processed foods, sugars, and things of that nature, and weren't working and getting the same amount of exercise we did on the farm. So
okay,
at that point, a change occurred. Diabetes had been unknown in my family before that. But then after that, you watch that trail, and then it comes on faster. So my grandmother had diabetes in her 70s. My mom had it in her 60s. When I hit 50, they said, watch out, you're pre-diabetic.
Okay, here's the thing, though. We're learning all this stuff. The most popular diets right now are Atkins and ketogenic and paleo. All three of those are basically good, healthy diets. But if you're out somewhere, we were out all night and we had to stop for dinner before we both fainted. There is no place that really has good, healthy, ketogenic, like fast food places or cheap places that are supporting you with a proper diet. Why can't they just make healthy food?
Why can't we just pack it once and quit being lazy? Why?
Okay.
I love you to pieces. But listen, I'm going to be honest with you. We think of those diets as healthy. So my son, Stephen, my stepson, right? He's very into good health. He wanted to be really lean and ripped. And him and his wife went on Atkins. I've been on Atkins. It ended a problem of not being able to conceive. I got pregnant when I was on Atkins. But I loved Atkins. He did Atkins, and he wound up in the hospital with a bowel impaction. He couldn't poop. Fiber is a necessity. You only do a diet for two things. One, a medical reason, or two, a short-term fix. A short-term fix. If you do it longer than short-term, you screwed yourself up. So that's an important thing. Are you there?
Oh, okay, there we go. I do like to have my bread once in a while. So I started a ketogenic diet way back when we were talking about the nervous system. It helped stop seizures.
Yeah, so the reason you would do that ketogenic and keep it. You know, that's important.
So we're back onto the musculoskeleton system. You got to stand up. You got to move the skeleton. And then all over that skeleton, I don't care what size you are, because this system will accommodate, is your skin.
Well,
first line of defense.
Proper nutrition, hydration, and rest. It's always the same answer. I love it.
Pretty much. I mean, it used to be you buy all these heavy-duty cleansers and things that scrub your face, and you would just scrape your face to oblivion if you had any zits. I fortunately, let me knock on something. I've never had an acne or a breakout problem, but it's not so much all the oils on your skin. If you cleanse properly, that's not the problem. It's what's underneath your skin.
Yeah, what did you put in your body to begin with, and what hormones are being produced that cause them to go, you know, to if you eat sugars and fats and bad things, right? They're going to come out of your body. Some of them are going to come through your lymph system as zits and things. Right? It's going to come through under your skin. We say, oh, it's important to wash your face to keep the skin cells open so that stuff can naturally come out in a little bit of oil at a time and wipe it away. But when it's too much and your body can't take care of it, then it starts making those pockets, those eruptions of pus. And do you know what pus is, actually?
Oh, God, I don't think I want to know.
A lot of people aren't aware. It's the lymphocytes. It's the dead white skin cells.
So you had a... You had a big battle going on there, and those are the guys that lost.
They're the ones that died in honor of your survival.
And I have to tell you, the thing about nourishing your skin so the skin will protect you, because of Agent Orange, my husband also has skin cancer. He can never remember to put on a skin, sunblock. But that's food is natural. I have to tell you that they're telling me wait a minute. No, oh, we have 4 minutes till closing. Okay. The foods you eat can actually be sunscreens from the inside out.
Yeah, it's really true. You know, we're getting a lot of misinformation on foods. One of the things I wanted to mention really quick, we've been hearing about the Impossible Burger and the burgers and things like that. They say, well, now we can eat our fast food and be okay. And then somebody else is going, no, this is satanic. Here's something interesting. We are trying to change fast food to be healthier, and those Impossible Meats and the other one, I'm trying to think what it's called, those are actually vegetable proteins, and the reason they taste good is because of the legumoglobin that's in the plant base. It's like the hemoglobin that's in the human base, right? So,
we're
trying to make that better to come through our bodies.
The best thing on earth is grass-fed beef, and those of you who are totally metaphysical, my teacher in the Whale and Dolphin School, she's channeling, you know, the upper realm of spirit, and she said those animals chose to come into this body at this time to be a food source, and it's okay to eat a cow as long as you say thank you and bless you for being here for me. Mm-hmm. But you want a grass-fed one.
I think the funny thing is, like, if we look at Muslims, we look at halal eating, we look at different cultures, I believe even Jewish, and you'll know more than I because I'm not Jewish, but they talk about when you kill your meat, it should have lived humanely, and it should have died so quickly it didn't see it coming.
Yeah, see, so I don't understand. Why don't we just wait till they're about to die of old age and then euthanize them peacefully and then eat the meat? I mean, I don't see why we're going around stomping people on the head and choking them and doing other things, and we have like 2 minutes, so we can't tell.
We're
I'm gonna have to have you come back, because we didn't do the fun one at all. We didn't do reproductive system, and I gotta tell you, there are a lot of things that can go on from middle age on with reproductive, so you may have to come back for that one. I do have to tell you before we go, next week we have a guy, and this is interesting. I think your doctor is a naturopathic doctor. Mine is chiropractic, and I had another chiropractic on. My guest next week is also chiropractic. But these guys have so much more insight and training in nutrition. So he's going to talk about the stress response, and he actually has one of two offices in California that offer a computerized stress response evaluation. Once you find out what's messing up your body, you can fix it. So we're going to talk about, well, we almost covered all of the systems. We're going to talk about how stressing out and doing all these things do totally mess you up. And if nutrition is not enough, this guy might just have the answer. Because, like I said, this month is June Groom Month, and next month is, oh my, it's July, and we want to have our independence. We want to be independent of doctors if we can, medicines if we can, and just have a happy, healthy life. So here's the deal. Can I have you back one more time?
You can have me back as often as you'll have me back. You know, I hang out with you as much as I can.
Yeah, this is, I think this
how
has been really...
Hey, you want to save the world? Of course I do. I don't know how, but I'll try.
Well, there was a show, it was The Greatest American Hero, and this cute little blonde guy that flew around in a red suit. And of course, I love red. But he said, this thing didn't come with an owner's manual. Ah, neither do we. So we have to do this. I have to sign off. So you guys... catch the show on archives if you have no other way to do it. And we will have CJ back. And until next week when we talk about the psychology of all the stuff you just learned today, it is okay to flip your wig. It's not okay to lose your mind.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.